Welcome to the Drop-In CEO podcast. I'm Deb Coviello, and as the Drop-In CEO, I drop into businesses and assume the CEO role to enhance the human element and increase the results they achieve. This podcast is about bringing you conversations with expert guests who have achieved their greatest results built on a strong foundation of purpose, values, and elevating people. If you're a business leader, entrepreneur, or even just getting started in business, join us as we build the skills you need to achieve your goals. Hello, and welcome to the Drop-In CEO podcast. I'm Deb Coviello, and I'm extremely excited to introduce to you today Jasper Schouten. Jasper is the CEO and co-founder of 1-2 Taste, a digital marketplace for taste ingredients and service. Jasper has extensive experience in the taste industry, ranging from operations and finance to commercial leadership positions. Jasper is passionate about changing the status quo of the taste industry through 1-2 Taste. And I happen to know him personally. We met a number of years ago at International Flavors and Fragrance. And I remember that, you know, he was a very smart person. He was, I think, in one of my training classes getting his black belt. And I just remember that he had this amazing visionary personality. And when we became reacquainted through the power of LinkedIn, I saw that he started his own business. We just started a conversation, and I'm excited to bring that to you now. So Jasper, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Deborah. Glad to be on the show. Glad to get the opportunity.
All right. So I'm excited for this. But first, just for my listeners, could you tell them a little bit about your business journey and the work that you're doing now?
I joined Cargill as my first employer after my degree in food science at Wageningen University. And I joined as a technical management trainee. And I literally could not have wished for a better start in my career than Cargill. I think everybody knows Cargill. So they have a training program, and this is called a carousel. And during your time in Cargill, you get to see a lot of the business. And it allowed me to see different aspects of the business at that early stage in my career. So I saw operations, I saw IT, did an SAP implementation in Europe, and I ended up in finance because in the end, everything goes to finance. But at that time, I was also asked by IFF to join them and to join them in Egypt. I was living at the time in the Netherlands. So I joined IFF in Egypt and was tasked to make a turnaround. And the site had to be really changed. So I went there and I loved the challenge. It was an extreme challenge. And I loved working with the Egyptian team. I think that during my career, I have not laughed so much as I did in Egypt. They have an extremely good sense of humor, amongst other talents, of course, but it was great working there. I was in Cairo from 2010 till 2011, the end of 2011, right in the middle of the Arab Spring. So we were juggling things around, but we managed to really make a tremendous improvement in the overall performance of the site at the time. With that done, IFF asked me to go to China. So I took a plane and went there together with my family. And we settled in Guangzhou, which is the south. And I was actually tasked to build and commission a new flavor factory, a huge flavor factory in Guangzhou, at the same time running the day-to-day operations. And it was exactly like Jack Ma always says, you know Jack Ma from Alibaba. In China, everything is difficult, but everything is possible. So it was literally like that. We were struggling, but in the end, we managed to do it, everything on time and in budget. So during my period there, I was very, very lucky to work with a very talented team. And if there's something to say about the team is that they really had a can-do mentality. They were going all the way. And there was never a no. There was only a how can we do that? So after that period in operations, I wanted to change, and IFF allowed me to change, which was great for me. And I became the commercial director of the Middle East for IFF. And the Middle East is a very complex region where you need to be adaptive. In the period that I was there, the war in Yemen started. There were sudden taxes between Saudi exports to Iraq. There was the Syria case. There is numbers of refugees in Jordan, but you had to adapt your business to be sure that you keep growing. And we did an excellent job. We showed great growth over the period that I was there. So to say what I'm most proud of, I cannot really say. I'm proud of everything that I've done, and I'm really proud of every team that I worked with. But after this period, and where I saw literally all aspects of the business, I thought I can do better. So I wanted to have my own business. And since January, I actually joined as a co-founder, One to Taste, which is a digital marketplace for taste ingredients and services. So that's my new challenge.
Here's something interesting. I knew you, but I really did not know all of these things. And, you know, one of the things that I pick up on, and I wonder, is it you as your leadership, or did you just simply have the good fortune to be in amazing situations? You talked about your time in Egypt, where everybody just laughed. And were you simply lucky enough to be in that environment, or potentially your leadership? And then you also went to China. Difficult, but everything's possible. And like you said, under budget and on time. That's truly amazing. And then, like you say, going into the Middle East and moving through a very difficult time and having to adapt constantly. So given that, do you feel all of these experiences have set you up for the business that you're in now?
Well, I think it most certainly gave me a lot of experience, right? A lot of experience in different cultures, in meeting different people. It allowed me also to build a very big network around the globe. And in the different positions, I got to see also the different aspects that contribute to a successful business. And that, of course, is key in my role as the CEO and co-founder of One to Taste, where we have an aspiration to be a global marketplace. So not just for a single market.
So I'm curious, and I love that you fact you've been in operations and commercial and the finance aspect. Where's your heart? What area of the business do you gravitate towards? I'm curious.
Yeah, that's a good question. And, you know, it's maybe strange, but I still love operations, but I would not go back into operations so fast. I think I'm more a network builder and a business builder. And all this experience contributes to being able to talk also to different people in the business. And so it's for me to talk with an R&D person or with an operations person or with a commercial person. I know their background, so I can sympathize with the problems they are going through or the issues they might have, and I can support them.
You know, what's really great and fantastic about what you say, and I will also share, early in my career, and it almost sounds similar to what you had at Cargill, I was in a manufacturing management development program for which I had the opportunity to work in supply chain, work in leadership, work in quality, work in process engineering, because you can be so much better a person if you take the risk or have the opportunity to go through different parts of the business. It only helps you as you move up in your career.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So One to Taste, tell me more about that. What business problem do you solve with this company that you've created? Or what problems do you create?
I certainly hope not that I create a problem. I hope I solve a problem, though. So what I saw in my experience is that there's a lot of small and medium-sized enterprises out there that have an ambition to innovate, but not always have the tools to proper innovate. It is my ambition to give the small and medium-sized enterprises the same opportunities as the big globals have, right? So the globals can go to suppliers and ask them for sensory insight, can ask them for development of new products, et cetera, et cetera. But the small and medium-sized enterprises actually have to live with the small crumbs that are available. And I want to give them the real stuff. And I'd like to do that through offering a very wide range of taste ingredients for them in the right pack sizes that they would require for their business. But I also would like to offer them the opportunity to work with professionals freelance professionals that are key in the field that they are consulting in. And you can do that through hiring these freelancers to help you develop your new product or innovate your new line of ideas.
So that's an interesting business model. And I would actually absolutely agree. That is a market, that small and medium-sized companies that for the right company that have the vision that they want to expand their offering, but they can't employ somebody full-time. Their core competency is the final product that they build. And interestingly enough, I'm in the same position. My heart goes out to those small and medium-sized business owners that, you know, their technology or what they create is the best thing. But I'm a freelance quality professional. I come in, I provide the service that they need. I understand how they work. They need it fast. They need it quick, and give them the best that we can offer. So I think it's fantastic that you bring in those resources to support the small and medium-sized companies that have a vision for growing their business. So you had to build a team. I would love to know more about the team that you've built, or what is important in bringing in the right people to create the business that you want to create.
Well, the team is everything, right? I mean, in the end, it's the people that make a business. Let me tell you a little anecdote or some experience of a project we did a bit more than a year ago. We were asked to actually participate on the biggest food exhibition in the Middle East. And the time was extremely short, where you prepare these kind of exhibitions at least 3 to 6 months in advance, right? You start thinking about it, how your booth is going to look like, and we had less than a month. So we pulled together, and we really thought well about it. So we pulled together the right resources, and we actually deliberately took different time zones so that we could work. Once one time zone is finished, we could pass it on to another time zone. And it was an extremely pleasant experience. And why was it so pleasant? It was because everybody could work independently and could carry their own weight, but were also very good team players. And that, I think, is a returning aspect in my career of being successful. You need to make sure, and you need to ask yourself continuously the question, in my team, are there independent individuals that can also contribute to a team effort? And if that is the case, you can do about anything you want to do.
You know, it's about having the right people on the bus. You hire the right talent with the right culture and the same values, anything is possible. So wish you continued success with that model. So tell me about your market advantage. I mean, you're trying to help some of these small and medium-sized companies. Do you see yourself at all competing with some of the larger flavor companies? Do you see any competition or any downside of this?
I don't see it as a competition, because basically the customers that we approach are not the customers that are typically on the front, the bigger suppliers, right? We work with the bigger customers, right? So in India, we work also with my previous employer. So I don't see it as a competition. I see it as complementary, right? We want to serve these group of customers. They want to serve the group of customers, but they don't want the hassle. So let us work together and do it together. But I also like to work with the medium and small flavor houses or color producers or those, because what we can provide them is actually reach. So sometimes, like every business, and certainly in the B2B, which is still a very traditional business, you're limited by the number of sales force that you have. And you can only visit so many customers per day. But with a digital marketplace, you can visit thousands of customers a day without spending as much time as you would do in person. So we're taking a hurdle away. So also for the smaller flavor producers or smaller taste ingredient producers, we create a reach of a wider region.
Yeah, so that's fantastic. Giving people the ability to self-serve, not have to go through the sales force, that's fantastic. So you're very much an optimist. You've shared a lot of great stories from early career, starting up a new company or new site in China, as well as working in the Middle East. But I would really love to know a little bit more about a time where maybe you had dropped into one of these situations and it wasn't that easy. How did you help the organization move forward? Because I know sometimes when we have to roll up our sleeves and deal with such challenges. That's how we as leaders grow. And I'd love to know the impact.
I think I need to go to the beginning of my career here, that coming fresh from university, you think you have all the knowledge required to do things. And I, as a technical management trainee, which I was, the trainee was also training on the job, right? And so I was the shift supervisor in production. And because I came back from the university, I made a job rotation because I thought that that's great, right? People will love that, because in school I learned that if you change your job continuously, then you will get more enthusiastic. But that was not a good idea. And people were very resistant, because they, you know, from one day where they were used to staying on a certain position for a couple of months, they were moving every day. So I made a program and I was moving them all around, and they were getting very nervous. So they were kind of rebellious. And so I spoke with my manager, and he gave me some very wise lessons. He said, you can make any change you want, but you need to take your team by the hand. And he literally said, don't walk faster than the team. Your idea is good, but the implementation, you cannot change people overnight. You cannot, because literally they came on Monday in the office, and I made this whole beautiful program over the weekend. I worked and I thought this is a great idea, but it doesn't work like that. So it really taught me that if you want to make change and if you want to get people on board, you need to give it in the sizes that they can chew, right? So you need to make it possible for them to chew it and to appreciate it. In the end, we did it, but it took us much longer than the overnight change.
You know, that's the challenge of high performers sometimes. They're very smart and they want to make change very quickly because they can see the end game. But sometimes the people on the team can't see it. And I think sometimes we need to spend more time showing them what the vision is, where we're starting to go, and then let them process it a little bit. I know inside people like ourselves want to just go fast, but we, in order to bring the people along and not waste time and have to go backwards, we know from lean methodology, you don't want to rework it and do things over again. So sometimes it's important to spend time in that discovery and discussion, paint a picture, help them paint the picture with you, and then go real fast.
Yeah, you're right. And that's a learning. I still need to remind myself on don't walk faster than the team every now and then. It's something that continuously sticks with me.
So in your company, you've been in business for a short while, but from what I hear, it's starting to really take off. But what keeps you up at night? What keeps you thinking? What are you concerned about? Just curious.
You know, it's strange, but I'm more excited than I'm nervous or afraid or scared. No, I'm truly excited about this new venture. And the only thing I tell myself, if it doesn't work, it's not because of the idea. It's because of the implementation that we didn't do well. Because there is going to be a platform, a marketplace that I'm having today and that we're spreading out over the world. So it's all about the implementation. So again, it's about people. It's about having the right team on board and addressing the right customers in the right way.
So, you know, for anybody that's thinking of doing something different, whether you're in your own business, you want to scale your own business, sometimes not knowing every single detail before you execute is so important. Sometimes it's more about having that vision and just taking action, because there's plenty of smart people around you if you have the right people on the team that are going to help you.
Yeah, and I love that. I mean, that's exactly what I think I missed in corporate life, right? We can have an idea today and think about it and then say, okay, let's try it out. And it's okay to fail, right? Some things work, some things don't work. And when it all started, it was before I joined, but they also had to go through phases that they said, okay, this approach is not going to work. We need to shift and we need to take a different approach. And that's actually really nice that you can try different things and see what sticks, right? Okay, you need to think about it thoroughly before trying, of course, and you need to anticipate an outcome. But if it doesn't work, you can be flexible enough to go back and to do something different.
So that's the beauty of being an entrepreneur, because like you said, I'm a little bit nervous, but every single thing that I'm doing, I am so excited about. And it, by being excited, it helps elevate the team as well. Not only your team, but your customers, and more people will jump on board. I think positivity and being a realist also is important, but just having that vision and something inside that says, I know I'm doing the right thing. I know it. I might make a few mistakes, but I really, really believe. And belief is a strong value of leaders like yourself and myself as well. So your work is fantastic. I'm so excited for your company, its growth, and what it's going to do in the future. But I'd also like to know, I always ask this question, what or who has inspired you along the way? Because I will share with you that sometimes in business and corporate life, there are wonderful leaders and wonderful managers, but you follow them. But sometimes a person that inspires is somebody that just lights something from within and then just watch people do beautiful things. Has anybody or a situation ever inspired you, and how did they inspire you?
Yeah, I think most people have one or two, right? I certainly have one. It was in my last job with International Flavors and Fragrances. There was a gentleman that I was working very closely with, and this gentleman is still working in IFF, but he's in his 80s. He is the most extraordinary person you ever come across. And this gentleman literally experienced everything in life. And that is the good and the bad, right? So he taught me a lot of things. But one of the things I really admire him for and inspired me was the way he treated his customers. He was so welcoming his customers. He would literally travel the world for his customer. So his ultimate devotion to the customer and also the love he got back from the customer, it was something that you obviously have to acknowledge and you can only acknowledge. And his knowledge of products and the industry and basically the way he was bringing it was in such a humble way. He didn't do it for himself. He did it literally to help them and not to put himself in the spotlight. So it was great. And I'm happy that we're still in contact. But he is definitely a person that inspires me. And is also a great example how I would like to be on his age, right? He comes in the morning at 6 o'clock. Every morning, super disciplined, always wears a tie. He only takes it off when he goes under the shower, he tells me. So if I can be that in when I'm that age, then I would sign here and now.
I can't wait to have this conversation after we stop recording to learn more. So, Jasper, this has been an amazing conversation. I know my listeners are really, really going to enjoy listening to you. You've got a great sense of humor, high energy. You are launching your own business with a great team. Before we bring this to a close, is there anything else you want to share about your company or anything that we didn't cover just to share with them?
Well, thank you very much, first of all, Deborah. I really appreciated this invitation. And I hope that all the listeners will have a look at our website, which is www.12taste.com. It's now only for India. We're opening up in Europe in June, and we have plans to go to the US after that. So we have an ambitious rollout plan.
So this is so exciting for me, and I wish you continued success. I mean, you've done a lot of great things in your past career. I'm excited to see where 12taste goes. Other than checking out your website, is there any other ways that people can connect with you?
Yeah, they can find me on LinkedIn, Jasper Schouten. So that is Jasper Schouten.
Okay. This has been fantastic. Thank you so much for your time. I'm excited to see where your business goes. And thank you for being a fantastic guest.
You're very welcome. Thank you as well.
Thank you for listening to the Drop-In CEO podcast. I hope you are inspired by our conversation and can apply what you heard to your business or career goals. For more information about our consulting or coaching services, please visit my website at dropinceo.com or visit our Drop-In CEO Facebook group to continue the conversation. Now go out, lead, inspire, and achieve your goals.